left off the previous year, we were talking about the idea of Stam Yenem, that Chazal made a gezeira, almost for a combination of reasons, that we're not supposed to drink any wine, not supposed to be nena from wine that was touched, that was handled, that was manufactured by a guy. So the Gemara tells us that built into this iser was the kula of Yain Mevushel. The wine was cooked beforehand, before the guy had contact with it, and then it's going to be okay. And it wasn't 100% sure why that's so, but Lamaisa, that's the bit. That's the lach, either because that deteriorates the quality of the wine, or it's a milsa de lo shchicha, it's not a normal thing. Whatever it is, Chazal lifted the gezeira, if it's Yain Mevushel. So there's a big machlokes in the poskim whether the modern day version of what we call Mevushel today really does the trick. So the way wine is cooked up today, it's not put into a big pot and sat on the fire like a pot of chon for 10 hours. They run the wine over this very, very hot piece of metal for about a split second. It raises the temperature of the wine to a pretty high degree, and then it cools down immediately. So the question is that good? Is that really considered to be doing the trick of Mevushel? So Rav Moshe Feinstein was makel on this. Rav Moshe said that, yep, at the end of the day, it was Mevushel. Might not mean how long was Mevushel for. Mevushel for a split second, Mevushel for 10 years. If at the end of the day it was cooked, and halachically it reached the point of cooking, what's called the point of cooking? So Moshe says the same shear that we find in Kol HaTorah Kula, called Yatzah Letzer Bo. If the wine reaches so hot that if you would try to touch it, you would burn your hand, you have to pull your hand away. So that's called Yatzah Letzer Bo. That's the shear of Bishul for liquids in Hilchos Shabbos. If you take water and heat it up on Shabbos at the point of Yatzah Letzer Bo, that's Bishul Deraisa. So to Moshe said, that's called Bishul L'chol Din Yatzah. And once the wine reaches Yatzah Letzer Bo for a split second, it's no longer subject to the rules of Stam Yenem. How hot is Yatzah Letzer Bo? So this is very unclear. You know, Chazal give it a shear, but it's kind of hard shear to test because you don't want to burn anybody. So we have to try to figure out what exactly the shear is. So there are different cheshbonos how to figure it out. 210, it's boiling. That's way, way, 212 is this. Yeah, that's way, way, way past the point. So Rav Moshe said he thinks that the biggest possible cool is 160 degrees. He says the truth is it's probably much, much lower than that. Rav Moshe says, if you made it to 160, then there's nothing to discuss. Once it's reached that point, for sure it's Yatzah Letzer Bo. So many folks can say the number is probably significantly lower than that. And there are some who put the number even a little bit higher than that. So what they try to do is in the wine factories, in order to write Mevushel, so a different opinion. Some go to 160, 180, whatever the magic numbers that they go to. But again, it's only done for a split second and call it a day. So this Pesach in Rav Moshe is Mekubal in America. This has been the practice in America for many, many years. And all the Hashgacha organizations that I know of in America all make it like this. If you don't make it like this, then you can't have any wine in restaurants, can't have any wine in at weddings, in catering, or anything. You're always going floating around. And everyone's relying on the fact that that's the city of Mevushel.
In terms of the wine actually reaching that temperature, if it just goes over the plate, that is...
No, it's done in such a way that the wine reaches... I mean, again, I'm not bucky in the wine factories. Once somebody... Well, the pasteurization is another thing. Pasteurization, even wines that are not necessarily Mevushel have to kill the bacteria in some other ways. That's another
story. So they don't do it through heating up?
So there are different ways. There are other methods of potentially killing the bacteria. There are some do it through heating and some do it through cold methods. Anyway, you have to maybe take a trip to a wine factory to see what's going on. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman disagreed with this fact. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Abach is of the opinion that you cannot call Yain Mevushel unless it's cooked to an extent that it really begins to deteriorate the quality of the wine. If you can't even tell whether it was Mevushel or not, because it was just there for one iota of a second, so Shlomo Zalman said that defeats the whole purpose, and that would not qualify as Yad Mevushel. According to Shlomo Zalman, that would throw into serious question a lot of the wines that we rely on. Well, just about everybody in America relies on this kula. There is Yisrael, Yesh V'Yesh, so some of them in Eretz Yisrael don't want to rely on this kula because of Shlomo Zalman. Other posts give him a question, this psak. But again, Rav Moshe has become the Mekubal psak that most of us follow, that all our wine, as long as it says on the Mevushel, is considered the Mevushel.
How long
would that shear be? I don't know, you have to cook it up in a pot and ask the wine connoisseurs how long does it take to ruin the wine. So
nah,
I have no idea. Nobody does it. So it comes out according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, all the wines that say on them Mevushel are not really halachically Mevushel. So some people are happy about that psak because there is a machlekes Rishonim whether when you make kiddush on Friday night, should you dafki use wine that's not Mevushel or not. Gemara says in Baba Basra that Chazal instituted kiddush al yayin. According to most Rishonim, kiddush ben Torah can be fulfilled just with words alone, and the fact that we make kiddush on yayin, that's been the rabbanon. The Gemara says that they were mesakin in kiddush al yayin the same way that there's yayin in the sochim, the same way that you pour wine on the mizbech and the Beis Hamikdash. So they were mesakin that the same standards of wine that would go into the Beis Hamikdash have to be used for kiddush. So ein mekatchel yayin elam kin roy l'nesachim. So there was a big machlokes in Rishon what exactly that phrase means. So the Rambam understood that means mamish kipshuto kemashmo, that anything that could possibly go wrong in the Beis Hamikdash wine will automatically disqualify wine for Kiddush as well. So therefore, yayin mevushel is not acceptable for the Beis Hamikdash. For that matter, other kinds of things are also not acceptable. If you, let's say, you mix in some sugar into the wine, or you mix in some fruit juice into the wine, or any flavoring into the wine, that would automatically disqualify it for the Beis Hamikdash. According to the Rambam, you cannot make Kiddush in any of that. So according to the Rambam, all of the yayin mevushel is no good for Kiddush. So when other Rishonim disagree, and that practice is like the other Rishonim. Other Rishonim say that the Gemara didn't mean that all wines that are disqualified from Mizbech Apostle. If you look at the context of the sugya, it would appear that only wines that are deteriorated, wines that are bad, wines that are smelling bad, that taste bad, wine something detrimental has happened to the wine that would no longer be acceptable for the Mizbeach, those wines are no good for Kiddush. But if there's just some halachic quirk that Mavushal happens to be possible, or a little bit of flavoring possible to the wine of the Mizbeach, but it doesn't really ruin the wine, so there's no reason why that wine should be not acceptable for Kiddush. And that's what our practice is. That's what our minhag is. We make Kiddush on the Yayin Mavushal. Some folks can say, if you have two wines in front of you, one is Mavushal, now Mavushal is all the Chachil, you could use the Yayin Mavushal one. That would be better. But Mikra didn't we pass in, the Yayin Mavushal is good, and that's what many people have Dafka Machbet only to use Mavushal. Because if you use Yayin Mavushal, what's going to happen is that you're going to end up inevitably, a Goy is going to touch it. We have a lot of Goy floating around in our houses. You can have a cleaning lady, you can have a worker, somebody's going to come to the house, going to touch the wine. But many people are just always careful. I always recommend people in America only use Mavushal wine. Even though in deference to the Rambam, it would be better in theory to use non-Mavushal, but Kiddush is too risky. So there are some people who are excited about the Tzach of Rosh Hashanah, because now they can buy Mavushal wine and then use it for Kiddush L'Chachim, because it's not going to Mavushal. The only thing is that if a great touch it, it's strength. So you have to be careful. So the Ikra didn't, we don't follow Rosh Hashanah in America, we follow Rav Moshe. And therefore our wines and our grape juices, whatever they say on the Mavushal, is considered to be Mavushal. Almost all the grape juice in America is Mavushal. There's one small run that Kedem does, the big glass bottles of Kedem, they run non-Mavushal run. For those people who want to quote-unquote be machmir to have non-Mavushal for Kiddush, that's why they make such a run. Yeah, it's a big mess because a lot of people don't realize it, and then Goy touches it, they have to throw the whole bottle out. So the Chachila, I would say not the bottles. The Chachila buy always Mavushal and always use Mavushal.
I mean, some grape juice anyway.
So no, grape juice is the same as wine. It's the same as wine. It's the same as wine. Well, all the grape juices, most of the grape juices are Mavushal. Almost all of them are Mavushal, except for that one small...
No,
the Gemara says the favorite that grape juice is good for Kiddush. The Gemara says you could squeeze out grapes on Friday afternoon and use it for a Kiddush. That's perfectly lechatchila. Last year, Last year, remember that our trip, I took my Yaakov, my oldest son, to the vineyard. Remember we brought all those grapes? Remember that? At the end of the summer, we went to a kerem, and we did all the mitzvahs of Paris and Eulot and everything, and Peah. We brought back loads of grapes. Ramaphisha was a nice, we did the whole thing. So he made grape juice out of it. So he used it for Friday night. Mama, she made a small bottle of grape juice, something from fresh grapes. It was not Mavushal by any stretch of the imagination. It was Mama, literally right out of the grapes. The Gemara says, Mefeh, you're allowed to do that. The Gemara says, Sochet on the Meshkel Shalom. You could squeeze the grapes for Friday afternoon. Mama, make yourself a cup of wine, a cup of grape juice, whatever it is, but that's okay. Anyway, getting back. It tasted like drinking green grapes. It was green grapes. It tasted like green grapes. Yeah, it was good. It was funny because I went home that last Shabbos last year, so I wanted to bring some home to America. But I figured if they're not going to stop this in customs, what are they going to stop? I'm going to bring a bottle of grape juice. I just squeezed myself from a vineyard, so I figured it was too risky, so I just left it here. So he made Kiddush out of here Friday. Okay, back to our story. So we let's move on to some of the other things that appear in the same Mishnah in Masechet Avodah Zarah about things you're not supposed to consume because they have the sources of goyim.
What about not from people?
I should have mentioned. Okay, good thing. Good question. Okay. So there is a big question in the halacha about what's the status of someone who's a Mechal Shabbos or for Hesia who touches one's wine. So the Rashi says that since he's treated like a goy concerning certain halachas, he's not mamash a goy. Someone's Mechal Shabbos for Hesia, if they have a child, the child is Jewish. They don't have to convert it. They want to be Chos B'Tshuva. They're fully Jewish. But then the Kaddish and Nisha, the Mu'ms, the Kodesh, the Zinatari was last year. So they're fully Jewish, but like Abbas Yerid, halachas of Kashrus, we treat them as being like goyim. Let's say the Gemara says that a Mechal Shabbos, if I have to, someone who publicly, Mechal Shabbos can't be a Sheikhet. So the Rashba says they can't be a Sheikhet because they're treated like a guy. So too, in Huchas Stam Yenem, if they touch the wine, it would be trace. So the Binyan Sion, was, his name was Rav Yaakov Ettlinger. He was a Chashev Rav, one of the big poskim in Germany in the early 1800s. He was a Rebbe of Rav Shimshon Fohush. So Rav Yaakov Ettlinger has a tshuva in the Sefer Binyan Zion, where he writes that maybe this doesn't apply to many of the Mechal Shabbos with Man Hazeh. Because Rashi and Chulin writes that the reason why Mechal Shabbos is Dino Ka'akum is because he's a kofar in Ma'aseh Bereishis. He doesn't believe in the Rabbanim Shel Olam. So the Ovid of Adazar worships idols. The guy has Mechal Shabbos, doesn't believe in Hashem, it's like an atheist. So says Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, what would it be if a guy is a Mechal Shabbos, but he's not an atheist. The Ma'aseh believes in the Rabbanim Shel Olam. He believes in Ma'aseh Bereishis. He believes in everything. He goes to work on Shabbos. So he writes that maybe such a person wouldn't be treated like a goy vis-a-vis the wife. So he writes that a lot of the people who were Mechal Shabbos in Germany in the early 1800s, they weren't like koifer and mamish b'Hashem. They had to make a parnasa. It was hard for them to get a job. So they were going to work. But he writes that they weren't koifer from Haraya. Their wives would bench left. They would make kiddush by night. They'd have a suzah. Then they were going to work. So anyone who knows a little bit of history of Jews in America, the institution of Hashkama Minyanim. Today, people think Hashkama Minyanim, all the firmies daven Hashkama Minyanim. The modern guys daven, late many of the firmies daven early. So in America, in the early 1900s, it was the opposite. Hashkama Minyanim was started in America so people could go to work. Because Nebuch, a lot of people, they couldn't overcome temptation. It was so hard, they were very, very poor. It's hard for us to judge them. So Nebuch, they would go to work on Shabbos. But they felt terrible, they wanted to daven Shacharis. So they would get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, they would daven Shacharis, they'd go up to the office, they'd go to the sweatshop at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. So they had at least they had their shkamin, they had the kiddush, they had the shows, and then they went off to work. So the folks came right. How can you call these guys Mechal Shabbos? The guy's getting up 6 o'clock in the morning, daven Shacharis. He's a dinner kakum. How can you say he doesn't believe in the Rashi? He believes in the Rashi. So that's one sad l'hukul. Then you have another sad l'hukul that the Rambam writes that you have people who are they're not nezidim. They're all b'shagim. Why b'shagim? They never heard of Shabbos. You have a guy who grew up as a very fourth generation, not from. What do you want from there? I never heard of Shabbos. And even if he heard about it, he thinks it's like some crazy people in Meshon do. He doesn't think that's part of being Judaism. So he never heard of the whole thing. So how can you call him a Mechal Shabbos? So that's why, you know, Bizman is there. Somebody who's not from touches the wine. There are many Poskim who are Meshel. Again, the Chachilah, you know, we try to avoid it. If you know you're having somebody who's not from in the house, so maybe it's better to use Mechal Shabbos. I always recommend anybody to use Mechal Shabbos because a lot of hockey, people use Nava Bush and wine, always end up in trouble.
Bishul
was the same problem. Bishul Akhav were on because the whole reason for Bishul Akhav was because of Chastas, because you're afraid they're going to marry their daughter. You're allowed to marry the daughter. If there's a non from Jew who has a daughter, if the daughter becomes from, so you're allowed to marry her.
So, same problem, but there's a family member that's not from.
So it could be that the Rashi was talking about a time and he was really worried of being over the Zohar. If the guy doesn't believe in Hashem, so then you don't know what he's doing. Then he's a Mumal Akal Tarakul. Maybe he's being over the Zohar also. Okay, so there's one other thing that's mentioned in the Mishnah. It's lumped together in the Mishnah, but it's really very, very different. And that's what's called Chol HaBachum, milk that was milked by a guy. So here, it's a totally different reason. It has nothing to do with kashrus. This is the only real authentic kashrus concern. The Gemara explains that we're afraid that the milk may be from a non-kosher animal. Milk that comes from a treif animal's treif. Let's say if you have pig milk, camel's milk, etc. That kind of milk is also in their eyes. Mother death from Sukkim, Kol HaYotzeh Min HaTameh Tameh. Anything that comes out of a treif animal is treif. Let's say if a bird lays an egg, so if it's a chicken lays an egg, the egg is kosher. If an ostrich lays an egg, the egg is straight. Whatever the source of the mother is, that's the halachic status of the milk or the egg. That's the Dimin HaTorah. So we're always afraid that if a goy brings you a cup of milk, how do you know it's cow's milk? Maybe it's pig's milk. So the Gemara says, man, you can tell the difference. I mean, I never saw pig's milk, but the Gemara says, if you take a look, that the kosher milk and the treifa milk don't look exactly the same. There's a little bit of a different consistency. So actually, scientifically, they are different. That there are certain fat content that the kosher animals milk have that the non-kosher animals don't have. I don't know enough about it, but there is some real differences in the action. And the way the Levisa looks different. Bottom line is the Gemara says it looks different. So what are we afraid of? If the guy brings you the milk, you'll be able to tell that it's not cow's milk. The Gemara says, no, we're afraid that he's going to basically bring you cow's milk, but he ran short. I go to the guy's farm and say, can you please give me a bottle of milk? So he goes to the cow, starts milking the cow, and the cow produces the half three quarters of a bottle. So he's going to get all nervous. So he goes to the pig, and he pulls out a little bit of milk out of the pig, and he mixes it in together. So since most of it is cow's milk, the Jew won't be able to tell. It'll be hard to discern. So that was their fear. So the fear was not he's going to give you a whole container of pig's milk. The chashash was he's going to mix in a little bit of the pig's milk into the cow's milk. Oh, very good. That's what the Shach says. So the Shach says that Minotaur won't really be a problem. because the Torah is going to be Batal Baruch, because whenever you have a mixture of two things which are really the same item, so that is Batal Baruch. Anyone's going to learn Chul with us next year will hopefully know this very, very well, get 100 on the Bechidus, so that's next year in Yeshiva. So there's a principle in the Torah, Batal Baruch. The problem is that with the Rabbanim you still need Batal B'Shishim. That's a whole complicated story. So the Shach says that, you're right, that the real fear of Chol of Akom is not a fear of any concernment that arises. The Minat Torah doesn't seem to go wrong anyway. If he gives you a full container of pig's milk, you'll tell the difference right away. If he tries to dilute a little bit of it, tries to mix in a little bit of pig's milk, it's going to be bottled there, rough anyway, Minat Torah. But it's all Midr Rabbanim. So you're right, the whole Takon of Chol of Akom is Midr Rabbanim, Mitchil of Yatzoy. Then the Shach says that it's only Midr Rabbanim anyway for a lot of other reasons. He says that most of the animals around are not chazerim. Most of the things that are producing milk are probably cows anyway. So it's like the same way you have, if you have 10 stores, 9 of them are selling kosher, 1 selling trade, you find a piece of meat on the floor, I'm going to tell you why I eat it anyway, because it probably came from the road. So if I have a cup of milk in my hands, and I don't know where it came from, it probably came from a cow anyway. Probably there is no pig's milk mixed in it. So for multiple reasons, it probably is no pig's milk, and even if there is pig's milk, it's about to be rough anyway. So the odds are that there's nothing really wrong with it. That you're not allowed to have milk by a goy. So how do you solve that problem? The Mishnah says you have to have what's called Yisroel Ro'ehu. You have to have a Jew watching it. So if the Jew is watching it, and Echad HaMisur, so one witness is believed to say it's kosher. So if the Jew is sitting there in the barn, and he's watching that the goy is going to the cow, not to the pig, so then you're allowed to drink the milk. So that's the question, how do we fulfill that halach of Yisroel Ro'ehu Bizman Hazeh? So there are many folks who are of the opinion that we have to fulfill it the same way it's fulfilled for the last 2,000 years. You have to have a Jew standing there. So the Jew standing there and watching the milking process. So that's what's called today Chol Yisroel. Chol Yisroel means that there's a Jew standing there and watching that the milk is being milked. It could be that it's not necessary for him to be standing there every single second. If you have what's called Yaitiv Enichma, if the Jew is coming in and out at moment's notice, the guy never really knows when the Jew is coming, so it could be that consistent to be like he's seeing it itself. So you have to have some kind of a version of Yisroel Ro'ehu. Then there's a Shaila in the Poskim. What about if you have on camera?
Cameras,
right. You have a guy milking some cows in the middle of Wyoming, and the Jew's sitting in ballpark watching it on the camera. So would that also be good? So that's also a shout. So many Poskim say, yeah, because as long as we can ascertain by the Jew watching, whether literally watching or figuratively watching, that'll be good enough. So this is that's the industry of Chol Yisroel. So now, Rav Moshe Feinstein came along and said, Gevalika Kula. Rav Moshe said that what if you don't have an actual Jew watching, but you know for a fact that it's Jewish milk, you know it's kosher milk. You know for 100% certain that there's no chaz milk in there. How do you know that? If you don't see it, seeing it's leaving, how do you know? So Rav Moshe writes, because you live in America, and in America the FDA is overseeing this. And if somebody would ever dream of tampering with the milk production in America, they would get an unbelievable fine. They would close down their entire $1 billion dairy plant. It'd be the top story on the news. So Rav Moshe says it's so out of the realm of possibility that someone's going to put cow's milk into when they, in today's world, the FDA regulates the dairy industry to such an extent, they test the milk multiple times to make sure that there's no bacteria, nothing. They're so, so careful about the milk supply. The guy's going to try to stick in cow's milk. They'll find them in a second. The Rav Moshe says that constitutes even though there's Yisroel Ro'ehu, even though there's no actual Jew watching, that's good enough. So hopefully next year we'll try to figure out about the different opinions about the Sakhar Ramosha, what the ramifications are of the Sakhar Ramosha for us as Ranazah. Okay, stop it up.